Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. New guy says, I'm not a fan of rebranding. It implies the old brand is tainted in some way, plus you have to rebuild consumer goodwill. It seems to be a sucker play. Fresh coat of paint to lull the normies, not needed if you have a solid brand. In my opinion, change bad. Yeah, well, the thing is, the rebranding, they were talking about the rebranding from the public space to JFG Tonight. The reality is, it's not just a rebranding. I wanted to do a different show. I knew that when I started the public space, it was all about creating a place where the ideas of everyone can be put against each other. And sometimes that meant interviews, sometimes it meant debates. But clearly, where I was headed was that I wouldn't host as many debates. So I knew that the public space wasn't really, I mean, it's not the public space anymore, what I do. It's a personal show with my views and my delivery of news. So I don't think it should be interpreted as a rebrand. I just changed the type of show that I was producing. And I think it would be weird. It would be kind of weird if we were named the public space just to surf on the prestige of the brand when in fact doing a separate show that is not the public space. And so that there's also honesty in the brand change here. There are some times where a brand change is strictly a change of name. That is one thing, but to me, since I was on a different quest with a personal show, it made sense to not call it the public space. The public space, it comes with a responsibility. It's the responsibility of leaving a lot of space to other people. And I wasn't ready anymore to leave a lot of space. First, because I've been so oppressed by censorship and the censorship of having people on my show be, you know, leading to me getting strikes. I didn't want that anymore, and also I didn't want to give control anymore to my show. And I think that the public space had a function when I did it, but I don't think this function is needed that much today, because people now can stream. There, anyone, you can have their views in full in solo shows. Everyone has a streaming channel. Everyone has plenty of social media presence. Back in the days of the public space, it was something to start Streamlabs OBS and gather everyone in a single place and make it happen live. All of this was a service that I was doing to society, and I'm done with this service, at least for now. Video shows a massive crack emanating steam in the center of Grindavik town of Iceland in relation to the massive earthquakes and volcanic activity that's been there. Look at this. Wow! A split of the earth, the kind that you see in video games. Wow! Iceland is a special place. Wow, wow, wow. You lay out something onto the ground, but the ground shifts. It shifts so much that you have a crack with smoke coming out of it. Look at, it's almost a meter, maybe a little less than a meter high, but the shift of the ground is massive. Whoa, White is back on the Super Chats, and he sends $300. And he says, JF, I... But then his sentence stopped there. White is telling us that he... We don't know what he wants, but we know he has sent me $300, and I'm happy about it. Thank you so much. Let us know if you are in the need of help. White. We want to know what you... Iceland, Japan, and now Mexico is going through volcanic activity. Look, I think it's time to understand that. First, I believe that this was predicted. I believe I've covered on my show about a year ago, there was this delusional guy who had his old theory of electromagnetism, and he was saying that volcanic activity was going to increase. He had analyzed the cycles of the Earth, and he was saying we're headed toward volcanic activity everywhere. And now we have a Mexico volcano that's getting very active on the 13th of November, so that's today. This was predicted. There was some genius. I don't remember what was the link to it, what was the name of the guy, but I remember covering this on a show about a year ago, where the guy was like, volcanoes are coming. I was like, how do I judge this belief? He was right. I think that we have to understand that we have very little understanding of volcanoes, and that it's probably something to do with the position of the solar system. We're oscillating across the Milky Way, and at some point we are in a position where we're getting those radiation or whatever, and it's fucking up everything, and it's going to lead to lots of volcano activity. White sends another $100. He says, no, that's all I had to say. Okay, well, if what you feel deep in your heart is just half of the sentence, then that's what it is. Then we shouldn't demand the sentence to be complete. So, volcanic activity happening in an increasing fashion. And thank you so much for White, who has been lifting the show on his shoulders so well across the years. We have someone who has some kind of a spray device attacking policemen with it. He's also naked and slapping the policeman. Well, now he's getting tased with two tasers. That should do it. You can see that he lost consciousness, I think. Look at it. He's spraying with some sort of fertilizer or whatever. The police cannot accept to be exposed to this, not knowing what it is. It could be super poison, could be dangerous to their health. Yet they have succeeded at using non-lethal force, it seems. Stray's channel says, I think he just knows the drill. They seem to be quite habituated at receiving that taser. Like the other guy who ended up being shot behind his pickup truck, and he took the taser like a zen Buddhist, basically in a meditation. He was like, Grayscale CEO says they are ready for the main event, awaiting spot Bitcoin ETF approval. This will be massive. If you think that I was looking at the layout of the Bitcoin price of this bull run compared to other bull runs, we haven't even begun. We are in the little wave of entry, and it's like, and then eventually we haven't seen anything yet. That's what's beautiful. I'm still super happy about the performance of my Bitcoin portfolio, but it's going to be insane, says DK Shadow. Oh my God. And all of the indicators indicate this will be the bull run of normies. Like, you may have the impression that Bitcoin has been happening again and again, and that at some point it has to weaken. It hasn't even happened. Bitcoin is still not adopted by the normies. And this bull run right here will be the first where an entire wing of the normie plex will be introduced to Bitcoin through the normie economic routes of ETFs and stock market and exchanges. It's going to be fucking insane. Landolt Guntram says, past centuries were more volcanically active than the last century was, so we are likely going to bounce back a bit. Yeah, I've seen that kind of speculation too. Sonenson says, it's been a 10-year dress rehearsal. We're ready for the main event. That's exactly how I feel in front of the coming bull run. Can you imagine when the ETFs go live and now it's the race between normies to know who will out-normie the normie in buying more Bitcoin? And we've been there all along. We've been there just waiting with our Bitcoin. Holy shit. I can't believe that it took so many years. And those were not sleepy years, you know. They were years where there was lots of money to be made, but it's going to be nothing compared to what's about to happen. Barnaby Bruto says, today my cock friend, a guy who started a BTC mining business in 2021 to close it 6 months later, told me he prefers opening retail stores as BTC is not tangible enough for him. Yeah, they will say this, but the reality is when you look at the raw numbers, can you imagine like buying a Bitcoin versus stocking a newly built, let's say I give you a building for free. I give you a building for free. Just buying the little bags of chips. Just stacking them with your employees and getting an employee there on every morning and then having a shift for the evening and having a shift for the night. All of this crap. For what? How much are you going to do per bag of chips? You're going to do 20 cents, $1, maybe because it's a convenience store. They make a little more on the margin. Maybe you're going to make $1 on your bag of chip. How many bags of chips will you have to sell before you make as much money as when you buy a Bitcoin? Rather than just taking the money that leads to buying the bags of chips and just putting it in Bitcoin. There's no way you're going to be in the green. There's no way you're going to outcompete Bitcoin because everyone wants Bitcoin. No one wants your bags of chips. Your bags of chips at a particular geographic location, at particular times of the day where it can be bought. This is a specialized product for people who happen to pass on this road, who happen to need a bag of chip then, who happen to have the money to buy it. And even then, when you catch this person, when's the next coming? In an hour from then, maybe in 2 hours, maybe tomorrow, maybe you're not going to get a single customer today. There's no way this machine, this money-making machine, beats Bitcoin. So sometimes the best thing to do in a falling society is to sit back and enjoy. And Bitcoin allows you to do that totally. And White is excited by the Bitcoin bull run. He says, Bitcoin is going up. Here, JF, buy more. And he sends me another $100. Well, White, thank you so much. I will definitely buy because right now I'm having so much surplus in my finances because of the departure of Mama JF. I am floating in money. Because I don't have expenses anymore. Now, all I need is basic food, basic heating. I don't have a woman to turn on the heating to the max so that she can heat the two floors of the house. I don't have a woman demanding special groceries be purchased at the international store of Asians. And So I have a lot of money. Any supplementary dollar that you send me, white, is going straight in Bitcoin. Absolutely. Approval of a spot ETF by the SEC appears almost certain, with Grayscale's chief legal officer recently saying that a spot Bitcoin ETF approval is a matter of when, not a matter of if anymore. JP Morgan also commented back in September, saying that the SEC will likely be forced to approve spot Bitcoin ETFs following Grayscale's victory in court. Saturn Shine says, how do you convert Bitcoin to US currency, say if you buy a home? Well, you sell little slices of it at the rate of maybe $3,000 a pack. So you send just that much Bitcoin to an exchange or to a place where there is P2P buying opportunities. And someone is going to... This Bitcoin can be put in an escrow. It will be held by the platform. And the other person sends you a US dollar payment through electronic transfer of all kinds. Once you confirm that you have the electronic payment of the USD, you confirm that to the platform and they release the Bitcoin to the person. And if anyone does foul play, the platform keeps the Bitcoin until investigation reveals whether the money has been transferred or not. So that's one way. You can also just sell it to a platform like crypto.com. Now, yesterday I saw some news that crypto.com was now in association with WEF. That is kind of worrying because when these Bitcoin exchanges partner with official institutions, it reminds me of FTX. That being said, crypto.com has been delivering well. And I don't know of anyone who's had problems with them. They are charging a little bit of a margin price. You're going to lose a couple percentage if you pass through crypto.com. So personally, I don't pass through them as a main outlet. But I've been trying them just to make sure, just to test that the system was efficient and all. And it works. There are alternatives to crypto.com. If you're in Canada, Newton is very good. Francis at Bull Bitcoin is very good. So you have all of these options. But never forget that the ramp out, the selling of your Bitcoins, is something that happens once every 4 years. And needing it for a house is something that may happen once in your life. And so there's plenty of time, you know, it doesn't have to all happen at the same time. Just do a 3,000. If you like the service, if it goes fast, if it goes well, repeat. And if you'd like to try another platform, you try another platform. Frog Eyes says, I still got BTC bags though, so not a knock on Bitty. I don't know what that means exactly, but I'm happy that you have Bitcoin. Maybe next time, says day trading Bitcoin at $30 at trade, coming soon. $30 at trade? You expect Bitcoin to be worth $30? You're just three orders of magnitude off for now, eventually four, but we'll see. Elon is an emotional man.
What's something difficult you're going through that people don't often see?
Trying to feed Uber Lilith. No, I mean, you know, my mind is a storm, and I don't think most people would want to be me. They may think they'd want to be me, but they don't. They don't know. They don't understand.
How are you doing?
What the fuck is this question? Just to add to the awkwardness?
I mean, overall, okay. In the grand scheme of things, I can't complain.
Do you get lonely?
I think what he describes is a troubled mind. Probably the troubled mind that you kind of need to have to be creative. I wouldn't say that I have a troubled mind at this point in my life, but I would say perhaps when I wrote The Revolutionary Phenotype, I had to have a troubled mind, and it played a role in my creativity. You have to have this kind of brain that is trying very hard and that is kind of trying to scratch to lift every unknowns, to discover everything about something. And you need an overactive, autistic mind, as Black Tie phrases it.
Sometimes, but I, you know,
this is where I'm not sure this guy is autistic, as he has claimed on Saturday Night Live. Because an autistic person does not ever feel lonely. I don't know. I don't know what loneliness feels like. I've always been seeking more loneliness. At any point in my life, I would get rid of one or two people from my surrounding. like to reach full happiness. Oh my God, I would need maybe one, maybe two, maybe three less people around me. I don't know that you can get enough of loneliness when you're truly autistic.
Kids and friends keep me company.
So not existential.
There are many nights I sleep alone. I don't have to, but I do.
Well, I mean, sleeping alone is good if you want loneliness. If you're in Southern California, the 10 being down is catastrophic, says Mike Cernovich. He was covering a... There's this very circulating highway, high traffic highway in California that caught fire because there was a group of 16 homeless who live under a bridged part of this highway. And they had an explosion of their propane tank that they used to make barbecues. And it totally blocked the traffic for presumably hundreds of thousands of people. I don't know how many people would have needed that highway.
One of the heaviest traveled freeways in Southern California tonight remains closed. A portion of the 10 in downtown Los Angeles shut down after a massive fire early Saturday morning. This street vendor across the road witnessing it all.
I hear many explosions before everything starts. And during the fire, there was a steel explosion.
Watch as the flames consume the elevated freeway. Fire officials believe two wooden pallet yards caught fire and ripped through a storage yard at Alameda just before 1 a.m.
They just wanted to grill, says maybe next time. Well, yes, you have a right to grill, but to grill, you need to own the grill and the space on which you deposit the grill, in my view as a libertarian. We had an expression. We had an expression by Dave Rubin of a theory that I've been talking about and laughing at with you guys a couple of weeks ago that came from Brett Weinstein initially. This theory, and it's a fascinating theory, that the Palestinians are out there. They live among us. They have taken control of institutions. They have taken control of the media. They may even have taken control of the banks. I don't know. But the Palestinian media control theory, which is a perfect example of how the conspiratorial brain of our Jewish friends is not doing good these days. It is allowing itself explanations for phenomena that do not need this conspiracy theory. And here, even Dave Rubin actually answered to my critique of his theory, which I find ridiculous, but I gave him the respect of expressing in words why what he says is ridiculous. So let's start with his original tweet. And he didn't give me the respect to say it in words. He just sent me clown images. Oh, you're a clown. Well, that's not an argument. I don't care how much my view may seem ridiculous to you. Your view seems ridiculous to me, but I gave you the respect of expressing to you why it doesn't make sense. And you are not there. You are the one making the positive claim. So the burden should be on you to make your case clearer about what you think. How do you think the Palestinian control of the media operates in a nation where there are so many Jews, honestly, in the media? like how do I control, if I'm a Palestinian in Idaho, how do I make sure that CNN leads to proper coverage in line with my beliefs when everyone in the line of control at CNN is Jewish? Do I try to become the CEO and do I try to become the boss of the Jews? How does that work? He says, in response to this initial tweet, which was a video showing, trying to promote Gaza tourism. So it's called Explore Palestine. It's not particularly surprising, even in a place where there are fundamental violations of rights, even in a place that could be seen as poor, you always have, in all places like this, you always have a part of the society that can kind of operate for wealthy people or for tourism. I mean, there are enclaves in Cuba where basically it's a bunch of boomers and they live literally in boomer land while they go to Cuba. And the lifestyle that they live is like infinite alcohol, infinite woman. And you don't have to be particularly wealthy for this to happen. You just have to be kind of middle-class Canadian, middle-class American. But when you bring your money to Cuba, they put you in this gated community and you're going to see a very bright image of Cuba. You're not going to see the everyday life of Cubans themselves, certainly not of the poor Cubans. So it's not particularly surprising that there would be spots like this in Gaza, which especially taken with the selective editing of a touristic oriented video, you can make a case that, oh yeah, life is beautiful, you should come here. Now, Dave Rubin has a more conspiratorial theory. It's that we are being hidden the truth about Palestine, that what we just saw is the truth about Palestine that the Palestinian CNN and Palestinian-controlled Fox News don't want you to see. He says, quite an occupied open-air prison, wouldn't you say? Note that a video like this would never be aired on mainstream media. And then think why. In this why of Dave Rubin, there is clearly a conspiracy theory. There's clearly an appeal to an intentional hiding. Dave Rubin believes that there is an actual effort by the mainstream media to hide this touristic video from you. Now, to be reasonable, you need to ask yourself, when you think of a conspiracy theory, is there a better explanation? And I tried this morning to give a better explanation to Dave Rubin that requires less logical jumps. So I said, more conspiracy theories by Rubin Report. And I'm referring more. I'm referring to the fact that we heard the same thing from Brett Weinstein a week or two ago. And I say, alleging Palestinian control of the mainstream media. I don't know, Dave. Maybe the mainstream media isn't playing that video because it would be kind of tacky to play an outdated and irrelevant video while Gaza gets carpet bombed. I mean, think about why. Why would you not show this video? Well, because it's irrelevant, it's old, it doesn't show the current situation in Gaza, it's not newsworthy. The fact that you can build a relatively good-looking video in a place doesn't show to me that there's not bombing happening in this place right now. The fact that you could have taken a couple of cameras, go to Guantanamo Bay, film the beautiful horizon, the beautiful beaches, film the parties that are going on at the local bar, film the valleys filled with beautiful forest, put some images of a marriage. Would that be a demonstration that there is no violation of rights happening at Guantanamo Bay? No. Guantanamo Bay was a horrible place to be for a bunch of unjustly militarily detained prisoners who were literally pissed on by American soldiers. So it's not because you can show a partial positive picture that the negative picture is false. And I know that a lot of people, as I was criticizing Dave Rubin today on Twitter, Dave Rubin came back and made this ridiculous tweet response, which has been totally ratioed. 28 replies to it, only 3 retweets and 3 likes, and one of those is mine. So people were not super happy with Dave Rubin, not engaging with the rationality of my point. And instead, clown, 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 clown. So I'm a clown because I raised the possibility that there's an alternative and better explanation for your paranoid delusions that are unjustified, that are based on a Palestinian control of media that doesn't exist, that in fact all of the empirical evidence points toward the fact that Jews have an outsized influence in media. You know about this. You are a Jew yourself. Anyways, I wish he had engaged more honestly. But people have been yelling at him in these 28 replies, let me tell you. And people reminded me that Dave Rubin has been... I don't think it's relevant, so I'm not into that kind of ad hominem, although ad hominems are flying high on Twitter all the time. But people were reminding me what I illustrated on my thumbnail tonight, which is that Dave Rubin has purchased... Dave Rubin has purchased insemination services. And he has conceived babies with I don't know what was the deal, in vitro or some kind of deal with a woman, and with his gay husband they had 2 babies coming out of 2 fed for what some people would call human traffickers, basically traffickers of uteruses and babies. I don't think it's relevant to bring that up against Dave. I believe that we should concentrate on the fact that his response is dishonorable and it doesn't engage with my point. But when you make a response that doesn't engage with my point, I won't be crying when my user base starts giving you responses that don't engage with your point, because you have no point, Dave Rubin. You haven't properly answered to my critique, and therefore I don't give a shit if they don't properly answer to your critique, which is just a bunch of clown emojis. Give us something better, and we'll elevate that discussion above the melee. You know, I miss the Dave Rubin who was like, calm down, guys. I wish he had done some of this morning. Maybe next time, says they have paradise, JF. No, they don't. Now, the Israeli propaganda isn't doing good. We're going to watch the full video because the trickery here, the lies, the kind of grasping at straws is pretty amazing here. That's the thing I retained from... They're trying to make the case now with this English-speaking Jew that their strike on the hospital was justified. Now, their strike on the hospital and on the kind of areas around have easily killed hundreds of innocent people, probably thousands, if you go more broadly and you look at what was done in terms of bombarding around these days. So I would expect, like, you can't tell me, JF, I found one Kalashnikov here, therefore it was justified to kill 8,000 people. It's like, a single Kalashnikov is not enough. Because as I made the case before, the human shield argument has its limits, and it has its limit in international law. You cannot just say, well, they were all human shields, but I was trying to kill that terrorist. You cannot kill 8,000 people to get at one terrorist, okay? Now, the lack of quality in this investigation that they're doing to expose the terrorist basements of the hospital is like a comedy sketch. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the reason why thousands had to die.
I'm here in Gaza City. We are here next to a house of a terrorist. This is one of the senior terrorists.
Okay, so let's grant this one, okay? Suppose this is the house of a terrorist. There's nothing particularly that tells me it is. Could be just a house, but okay, suppose that's the house of a terrorist. Now what? Have you bombed this house? No. We bombed the hospital a couple of yards that way.
Who is the head of the operational naval operations that led the raids into Israel? His house is right next to a school.
Oh, God. So there's a school. Okay, you are capable as a strike force to aim your missile more toward the terrorist house than the school. But then we're not even talking about the bombarding of the school. We want to know what's happened with the hospital.
His house is 200 yards from the hospital.
200 yards. 200 yards. 2 meters. So what is so that's basically 180 meters according to this. So 180 meters is a good distance. You should be able to distinguish between striking the house of the terrorist or striking the hospital.
Hospital of Rantisi. Next to his house, there is a tunnel.
Freedom says, I'm here because of Mama JF. Is she still missing? Perhaps she is in the underground tunnels that we are looking at right now in Gaza. Perhaps she is getting armed and getting prepared for an ambush. So Keep watching the video with me and we'll try to solve this mystery. Okay, so at some place, not so far from an hospital and not so far from a house that could be a house of a terrorist, there's an entry to the underground. Okay.
Now I want to show you an operational time.
Okay, now there's a cut jump. Now we're elsewhere. Okay, so I thought that there would be a link between the terrorist house and the bombing of the hospital already. No, we have a jump cut. So now I want to show you something else. Okay, let's see what that something else is.
Tunnel. The tunnel is built with electricity. We first saw the solar panels.
So this has already been debunked by Solomon on Twitter. This is not an electricity feed for a tunnel. This is actually an apparatus to control an elevator. So that's an elevator system for transporting presumably stuff, whatever it is, into the underground passage to the hospital. So it's typical when you have a big building like a hospital, you need a cargo entry mechanism. And you have this. I had this as a grocery store person. You know, you had to have a place that is relatively hidden from the public where things can enter in pallets. And sometimes it involves elevators, lifts, ramps. So that's what we're looking at here. You discovered the ramp toward the stocking cargo of the hospital building.
Then the electricity goes here and it goes down directly to the tunnel. Now you can see the tunnel.
Yeah, it's an elevator.
You can see the tunnel.
Oh yeah, you discovered a whole elevator system with an elevator silo. There you go. Now, is having an elevator for an hospital something special or weird? It's not. Is it something indicative of terroristic activity? No.
The tunnel is let down more than 20 meters down. The robot found a door that is bulletproof. It's explosives proof.
I mean, my door at the grocery store, it was all metal, very thick metal. I wouldn't be surprised that you could describe this as bulletproof. You could even describe it as explosive proof, but it's not a militaristic entity. It's just how doors are fabricated in industrial cargo transportation businesses. This is typical of what I would have in a grocery store.
So it looks like a hard evidence, a clear evidence.
Hard evidence. The guy allows himself the term hard evidence because the door is hard. But it is not hard evidence of terroristic activity. It is a hard evidence because the door is hard, and it's as hard as the door I would have in my grocery store where they were delivering milk. It's through elevator systems and ramp systems.
That the hospital direction is connected. This is a cover tunnel.
See how the sentence is cut? It's connected. Well, yeah, he wants the audience to think, oh, it's connected to Hamas. It's connected to the tunnels. It's connected to the house he just showed me of a terrorist. But the reality of what he stated is it's connected. Well, yes, it's connected. You just found the elevator to which it's connected. Bravo. Now, if you want me to bring you at my grocery store, I'm going to show you that my grocery store is connected through a similar system to the outside world, which allows the delivery of food.
Tunnel. It's part of the same floor, and it slides down here. So it's a covered tunnel, so nobody can find it.
Well, it's a covered tunnel. It's a tunnel with a door. Just like you would cover any entry to a grocery store, there was a metal door behind, because you don't want thieves to be able to enter the grocery store from the cargo part, because they would come, and they would come during the night, and they would steal food. So up to now, you've discovered an hospital with an elevator system, a cargo entry port, and a door.
This is Rantisi Hospital. And this is the place where I showed you the tunnel. I want you to see.
Yeah, okay. So that is typical. You will not have these entry points only into the building. You will have them sometimes very much outside the building so that truckers can pack their pallets and deliver it in a clean way without needing to generate more traffic close to the hospital. Inchfoot sends a super chat. He says, "Yo, Jeff, what do you call a Chinese Olympic champion? Black Lecords." I tried to perform your joke in the way it was meant, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's the joke here. Sorry, I'm not English.
Sorry, I'm not English. Sorry, I cannot understand you, the Black Records. I'm sorry. This is not where I come from.
Raised Fist says, "JF, Palestinians would decapitate you and your loved ones on the first chance they get. Let both sides fight to death. Not our words. Not our wars." I don't take a side. I would agree generally with your sentiment. I don't take a side in this war that much. I take the side of truth. And there is one side in this war, because all of my career in the public space has been based around epistemology and how do we get to know what's true and what's not. When I was an early streamer, I would stream stuff about magicians. And I was like, how do we know how this magician hid this card there? How do we understand what he did? And what I'm seeing is there is a side in this war that is particularly offensive to the truth. And it is the Israeli side right now. In the same way, there were offenses to the truth made back in the days of the weapons of mass destruction. So it's what I'm going to go after because it's what I find interesting. Now, yes, there's two groups that will send rockets at each other until one gets tired or one dies. I don't care that much about it, but I'll still cover it as news. Okay, so we have a door, a cargo, a hospital that receives stuff.
This is the backside of the hospital. Hamas used this hospital. Tonight we have entered into this building.
Okay, that's an assertion. Hamas used this hospital. We have no evidence that they used your elevator. We have no evidence that of the size of the use. Like, if I'm a Hamas guy and my city is getting bombarded, and there I am with my Kalashnikovs and my rockets, and I run into the hospital to find some place to hide. Is that Hamas using the hospital? Because up to now, we're not even there, but that would be Hamas using the hospital, and yet the hospital not being a base for Hamas. The way it was suggested, by the way, by your own propaganda. Because for a week now, they've been saying there are tunnels. But if there were tunnels, you could show them to me much more than this. All you've shown me here is an entry port for a hospital. If there was a whole network of tunnels allowing Hamas to launch strikes and to bombard Israel and to have all this planning going on, you would have much more evidence than this.
I will show you the evidence. Let's enter into the hospital.
Oh, he will show us the evidence. Let's go.
We're now entering into the area of the hospital.
where we had found the evidence. This operation was conducted by Israeli Special Unit, the Israeli Navy SEALs. This is still an operation that is conducting, and I'm showing you the first evidence to see. We are now in the area of the basement of the hospital. I want to show you a room.
Okay, so you found a basement of a regular hospital.
Where we found all the gear, the operational gear of Hamas. Hamas is using hospitals, like we showed the evidence in Shifa Hospital. In other hospitals, we are now seeing it in live in Rantisi Hospital. An operation still conducting right now. Look at what Hamas is holding inside the hospital. I want you to understand.
Okay, so this looks all laid out very cleanly. There's no way for me to verify that this is Hamas that had built an HQ under the hospital. But suppose I grant that you found some weapons that belong to Hamas. You found 3 or 4 rockets. You found about 20 grenades. Some of them look homemade and taped bizarrely. You found a couple of bags, some wiring, and maybe 1 shotgun, 3 Kalashnikov style AK-47, whatever's. This seems to be the equipment of between 1 and 4 military level guys. So all that you have proven, if I grant that this was not dropped there just by your services to justify your strike on human civilians, which you have all of the interest to do so. You have a motive for the crime here, a motive for lying that is extremely salient. But suppose I leave this on the side, and this is the equipment that was truly belonging to Hamas. You have between 1 and 4 Hamas operatives who happen to be in this basement. They may have sought cover into this basement without the knowledge of the hospital. They may have been there since a couple hours, or they may have been there for a few days. And they left this equipment behind, or you caught them, you killed them, and that was just their stash and their reserve. You don't have enough evidence here to present the theory of the underground tunnels being the center of command of Hamas. You have just found a hideout after bombarding a whole city. You found a hideout involving 1 to 4 terrorist enemy agents. Silver Spider says, clearly that is enough gear for 4 Hamas members to completely genocide Israel. Well, let's see what he has to say.
This kind of gear is a gear for a major fight. These are explosives. These are vests.
Yeah, but you're going to run out of 20 grenades pretty quick if you engage in frontline combat.
Vest with explosives. Yeah, it's a body vest.
Maybe explosive inside, maybe not.
For terrorists to explode on forces, among hospitals, among patients, we have hand grenades, Kalashnikovs, and then we have the RPGs. People shooting RPGs from hospitals. This is Hamas firing RPGs.
Well, this is really basic resistance equipment of a very low number of Hamas members.
RPGs for hospitals. The world has to understand who is Israel fighting against. We are now in the basement, and in this basement, we found a motorcycle.
Okay, so that's totally compatible with the idea of a single or 2 or a very restricted number of Hamas members that went there to hide without the hospital's knowledge and found a hideout in getting into the hospital basement. And this moto would carry 1, 2, 3, or 4 of them.
Are all used in the massacre of the 7th of October. They even have bullets in this motorcycle.
Well, you have a hole, you know. I've seen a hole on motorcycles like this. Maybe it's a bullet. Maybe it's just a wear and tear.
So they came back from the massacre on the 7th of October into Rantisi.
Well, you don't know this. They may have lived in other parts of the town, saw your strikes, and thought they could find a hideout in going to the hospital with the hope that they would not be struck if they stayed in the basement of the hospital for a couple of days. You don't know that they have committed this on October 7th.
The hospital, with hostages on a motorcycle. We're still researching this. Yards from here.
We're still researching this. Oh, I thought it was going to tell us something. Still researching what? No, we're researching what that is. Maybe it's a piece of leather. I don't know. Some boomer leather apparel. I don't know.
We find the chair, a woman, clothes, and a rope.
This is the point at which, if you haven't started laughing up to now, that's the point to laugh. He takes the evidence of this little bout of rope as indicative of kidnapping. This is like a basic survivalist rope that you would have in any backpack, that you would have as part of any sort of, I don't know, forest survival kit, hospital kits you would have in backpacks, you would have in certain items of clothing. This, to him, is evidence that someone had been kidnapped and was sitting on this chair and was attached. No, it's just a rope in a heavily constructed area. You can see rope here. What about this rope here? Is that evidence that someone else was kidnapped and was located here? No, it's just that if you have a building site where things are dirty, where things haven't been cleaned for years, you're going to have all sorts of professionals who pass there. If this was a place where there was entry of stock from the cargo carrying from the hospital, you would have deliverers who wrap their whole pallet in ropes and in wraps. And you would find these pieces somewhere on the floor.
A rope next to the legs.
He says a rope next to the legs. Oh my God. Mr. Investigator here, Inspector Gadget, making his observations. Rope, legs, kidnapping.
And look above this. Look above it. It's a baby bottle. It's a baby bottle.
Yeah, a baby bottle on a World Health Organization pump set. That makes total sense. That seems like a place where that was built for potentially hosting new mothers with newborns, potentially preparing milk for the newborns on the upper floor, potentially using a pump to pump milk from the breast. Like, you can see it, World Health Organization pump. So when you pump that milk, that breast milk, you need to pump it to something, and that something is a bottle. Makes total sense that in a hospital where there are births, you would have all of this equipment, including the baby bottle.
Bottle in a basement.
A bottle in a basement, he says. That's not just a bottle. It's a bottle in a basement.
Of a World Health Organization sign. This is
a World Health Organization sign. Yeah, okay.
Suspicion for an area where hostages were being held. We're now looking.
Hostages being held. What do we have? A rope and a baby bottle, which is totally expected in a cargo delivery place for the rope. And in fact, you can expect rope pretty much anywhere where there's been construction work, plumbing work of all kind. You can expect rope pretty much everywhere. And then a World Health Organization sign with some items to care for babies.
At an infrastructure, you don't need to build something improvisedly.
Well, you know, sometimes in basements of institutions, there are very crappily built toilets, rooms that were meant to become something, but they became nothing. Rooms that were just temporarily established as places for cover, places for taking the extra people when there was too much people in the hospital. So it makes total sense that there would be a toilet there, because it was probably a place where they were sending patients when there were too much of them in the upper floors. That is not evidence of terrorism. It's a fucking toilet.
In a hospital, in the basement. Unless you want to hold someone in the basement, you don't want anyone to see him. Again.
No. There are all sorts of incomplete constructions, even in Western civilization. I mean, it's a realistic thing for a Western hospital to have this kind of incomplete toilet spots and everything. The house of my mother has always had an incomplete toilet for all of my life. And actually, that pretty much looked like this. Like, it was just, oh, this is going to become eventually a toilet room, but we don't have time, we don't have the money to do it. And I drove back to my mother's home this year. I'm 39 years old, and she has completed the toilet. It's now a beautiful toilet with beautiful walls and clean floor, but it looked exactly like this for 39 years of my life.
Again, we're in the same basement, and here we see diapers, and we see...
Yeah, diapers, which is exactly what you would deliver through a cargo elevator. Imagine a pallet full of these diapers. Meant for what? For the new mothers of the hospital. So you get them through the elevator, some guy transports the pallet, and he drops one pack of diaper there. So what you have here is evidence that this hospital is getting equipped to give birth to babies. It's not terrorism.
I don't know, maybe something. You see diapers.
Something, maybe. Let's try to have a look at what that item was.
In the same basement, and here we see diapers, and we see, I don't know.
Well, maybe it's pacifiers, maybe it's some medical items, individualized medical item in a pot. Maybe like gloves or wraps or condoms or whatever that is.
Oh, maybe something. You see.
Could be anything, but no evidence of terrorism there.
Diapers. I want you to see this room. It's in the basement of the hospital. We can see this area is a closed area from the rest of the hospital. We can see the ventilation.
Well, how closed is it? You would need to rotate your camera. I would be surprised that there's a basement to the hospital and that there's not a single door leading into the hospital. In fact, everything you've presented suggests to me that there must be some access to within the hospital. Maybe you didn't find it. There must be some stairs, some door somewhere.
Ventilation air that was done improvisely.
Well, yeah, that makes total sense. That's typically what poor nations will do. And in fact, you will see this in basements of developed nations. You know, we don't have the budget to pay for ventilation. Let's try to redirect some ventilation because we don't really care about this part of the basement, but we want to be sure that if we send extra patients down here, we're going to have some fresh air to send them. That makes total sense. This is not evidence of terrorism. It's evidence of a relative poverty and relative makeshift attitude with ventilation.
To this area. And we can see infrastructures that was built in here. Toilets, shower, a small kitchen.
You mean everything that a patient would need, right?
We'll provide the terrorists their needs. Also.
The way he speaks in the future tense. All of this is what a terrorist would need. All of this is what a terrorist will need if we don't bomb this hospital. You understand? Terrorists need toilet. Toilets, they need air. They got hair here. Oh my God, this guy is telling himself a story as he tells it to us.
Also conduct a hideout. A hideout where terrorists take hostages and hide out. And I will show you now.
Okay, but you don't know this because you have no evidence that there were hostages in there. You're imagining the hostages.
The evidence. You're now entering into the room where we...
Oh my God. The terrorists have a photocopier. Look at this. A beautiful 1990s photocopier. Exactly what Hamas needs, you know, to get their fake passports and to print out a list of Israelis to be killed. They have a photocopier. They have chairs. I mean, this is exactly the kind of comfy room that would be put together to get a bunch of patients, send them because they're extra on the extra floors. There's no more space in the other floors. So send them here. There's a photocopier for the employees. This looks like a staff room for breaks and perhaps for extra patients.
We suspect the hostages were being held. I want you to look at this room. People are putting curtains with nothing above, just wall.
Oh my God. I never knew I would hear this in my life. Because this is a classical ergonomic practice in offices to put fake curtains that create the illusion that there's a window so that people can feel that they are in a more spacious place. So it's a technique when you're in a basement or you don't have the budget to have windows. For some reason, you don't have windows and you put these curtains. First, to separate the room from the very concrete, cold, and perhaps noisy at times environment. And it also creates a feeling of more liberty, of more space, and of being in a more regularized environment. That is typically what you would do for employees or extra patients. It's not a terrorist tactic to hide on camera streams or whatever.
No reason to put here a curtain unless...
Oh my God, the rational process of this guy. This guy is going to find terrorists in my house at this rate.
You want to film hostages and deliver movies. And I will...
No, that is not necessarily the purpose of these curtains.
Show you more evidence in this room.
Yes, and Frog Eyes points that the wood studs are not to code. I did see that the wood stud was kind of grinded at the bottom. That wouldn't be fitting with the local building code, indeed.
Room. There is a list.
Now, this is probably the part that is getting most mocked on social media, and it's already debunked by a community note. He's about to present a list as if it was the shifts of terrorists. Look at this.
This list, in Arabic, this list says, we are in an operation.
We are in operation. The thing is, this was the operation of the hospital. So he's using the word operation to make you believe that it's some kind of sinister thing, but it's operation in the sense of working, you know, in the sense of having work shifts and having nurses and having checkups.
Operation against Israel started.
Now he says operation against Israel, But people who know Arabic have been debunking this. The paper on the wall is a 5-day week calendar, not a list of names. The top says Operation/Movement Al-Aqsa Flood. The boxes from right to left read Saturday to Wednesday. Numerals are Western, not how native Arabs would write. So there is no reference to an operation against Israel. He made that up. It's Operation Al-Aqsa, which is the name of the hospital. And that would totally be what someone would write if there were a bunch of employees planning staff shifts, nurses, and visits downstairs. Ariel Suarez says medical staff shifts, basically. Yes, absolutely. So all in all, the propaganda of the Israeli side is getting desperate, because suppose you were to grant everything this guy claim, and I, given his inability to have a rational process throughout all of this analysis, I would have great difficulty granting it. But suppose you would grant it. So there were 1 to 4 Hamas terrorists who at some point used the basement of the hospital and used the passage that was meant for hospital delivery and set up camp there to seek cover from the Israeli bombardments of the rest of the city, thinking that they would be safe. And in doing so, they brought a couple of weapons that they were carrying with them. That is all the evidence you just showed me. You didn't show me the evidence of a Hamas command center. You didn't show me tunnels where a Hamas command center that would coordinate all the military activities of Hamas would exist under the hospital. You just showed me a hospital basement in which maybe some Hamas people found cover in for some amount of time. That does not justify the killing of thousands of civilians, of people who have nothing to do with this, who were not aware that this was happening. And apparently you didn't kill the Hamas terrorists themselves. You didn't even destroy their base. Like, think about it from a military international law perspective. Maybe if you destroy a useful base to useful armed forces, your strike would make sense. But your strike didn't even blow up their RPGs. Your strike didn't even blow up their hideout. In fact, if you were to just leave and come back in a week from now, they could be back into it. You haven't destroyed your military target. You have merely killed civilians. And you have done so without any understanding of the military target that you were supposedly trying to destroy. So that looks to me like a violation of humanitarian military law. And it looks to me like you should be punished as a country, Israel, for committing these horrific crimes. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being here, and thank you so much for the generosity of the super chatters, including White, who was extra generous tonight. You guys are carrying this show onto your shoulders, and I will be happy to be of service to you guys as long as it's financially viable to do so. And with the rise of Bitcoin right now, it seems like it will be financially viable forever. It's going extremely well. Rodita Sid says, Israel called to the Hague when? Yeah, this has to happen. Seriously. We have never seen this level of callousness with modern weaponry. Never. So if there is ever an international case for justice in military abuses, that should happen now. Bye-bye. Thank you.
We'll be right back.